Chapter 12. How could you lose him? It was easy, seeing as how I fell off the last roof I ran around on. I took my time getting up there. The Lady Morningstars were down 8 points at the half, and we sat in our spot and sipped lukewarm sodas. I was just glad that there were footprints and that he wasn't a figment of my imagination. The bear nodded. What took you so long? I had to get off the roof. Do you believe him? I thought about it as the girls returned to the court and began warming up. Strangely enough, yep, I do. I think he's concerned for his mother, which is commendable, but he also wants the wandering whatever it is to have me for lunch. I took another sip of my soda, forgetting how horrible it was. He also mentioned Fort Pratt, which does not exist, as far as we know. Maybe it's just the Industrial Indian Boarding School. Perhaps, but that no longer exists either. I patted the booklet in my breast pocket. But it did. He shrugged. I will begin researching with my usual resources. You mean go ask Lonnie? I was actually thinking of asking Father Kim over at St. Lebray. He has made a study of the Indian boarding schools, and it is possible that he may have some information on this Fort Pratt. The whistle sounded, and the players retired to their separate benches, the starters returning to center court. So we drop Artie for now? Yes. I trust your judgment, if not your mountaineering skills. Thanks. The tip-off went to the Indians, but Jaya Long had evidently had enough and sliced through the opposing players. Stealing the ball, she loped toward the opposite side to sink an easy layup off the glass. The lodge grass players turned and set off down court, but Jaya stayed with the two players who attempted to inbound the ball. I think he's probably guilty of dozens of other things, but I'm not so sure he has anything directly to do with the harassment of Jeannie or Jaya. He knew what the notes looked like. I shrugged. That's only one step above common knowledge. And the teeth? I'll let the Rosebud County Sheriff's Department worry about that. He shrugged as we watched Jaya snatch the ball away. She turned, and sinking another, drew the Lady Morningstars within two baskets. I figure one case at a time. Jaya backed off as the Indians inbounded the ball. The team cautiously moved up the court, passing the ball back and forth to stay clear of her. She was mad, and you could tell if she kept this up, she would surely foul out. Almost on cue, Jaya slapped the arm of an opponent and was charged for her third foul. The nearest umpire called it, and when she screamed at him, he made it a technical. The bear sighed. One to go. She'll never make it. I doubt she makes it through the next possession. So you want to drive out and see Digger Wainwright after the game? It will be late. I don't care. Actually, I did not think you would. The lodge grass player sank the one foul shot, and then the next. Despite her coach's yelling, Jaya squared off at the top of the key, ready to make her move as soon as the other athletes put the ball in play. The pass came, and Jaya went in for the kill. But before she could get there, the player who had the ball looped it over her head to her teammate, who moved quickly across the center court line. Playing catch-up, Jaya chased the ball handling forward, but then lost it when the lodge grass player tipped the ball toward the basket in an assist, the center slamming it home. The crowd, predictably, went ballistic as Jaya screamed at Rosie Blackwell for just standing there under the basket, not even making an attempt to block the other center. What is wrong with you? Coach Felton signaled a timeout and gestured for her team to come to the sideline. But Jaya stayed out there on the court. Harriet gestured emphatically, and Jaya started toward the sideline. The crowd was still going crazy as Rosie, crying from the dressing down, took a towel from one of the players on the bench and wiped her face. Meanwhile, a heated exchange was taking place between coach and player. Felton's finger held inches from Jaya's face. This went on for almost 30 seconds when Jaya reached up and smacked her coach's hand away. Harriet stood there, her face growing redder by the instant. She looked up at me and then gestured that I should come down to the bench. I glanced at Henry and then did as she'd requested, the bear following after me. When we got there, you could hardly hear anything, but I heard Felton as she yelled in my ear from only 3 inches away, "Take her home!" "What?" "I want her out of here, and I've got a game to coach, and I don't even want her on my bench. Take her home!" "I'll take her out to the bus and stay with her." "Fine." She turned back to her team as I reached for Jaya's arm, which she predictably yanked away. I reached again, but this time I grabbed hold and she glared at me. A few pieces of trash were thrown at us as we marched her down the sidelines. We made our escape and quickly shot through the hallway, out the doorway and to the right, where the lame dear Lady Morningstar's bus sat idling. When we got to it, I could see my arch-nemesis, Melvin Rook, sitting in the driver's seat, for all appearances asleep. I pounded on the door, getting his attention, as he reached over and pulled the lever, opening the folding door and looking at us, questioningly. "She just got kicked out of the game." He pulled a pair of buds from his ears and took a small transistor radio, the likes of which I hadn't seen since the PX in Saigon, from his breast pocket, adjusting the volume and then turning it off. "The young lady only had 4 fouls." Following her up the steps, I sat in the seat across the aisle from where she piled herself against the window. Her coach gave her the boot. He stared at her, shaking his ancient head, the silver crew cut standing at attention like a cock's crown, as Henry passed by us and sat in the seat behind her. "Melvin, why don't you take advantage of the opportunity and go in and actually watch the game, huh?"